Good afternoon.
Good evening and good night.
Starting with the Truman Show. Welcome to another episode of Come With KC. We are your hosts. I'm Dr. Casey Sanders.
And I am Carrie Sanders.
And we're out here today answering burning questions, deep desires, and pleasure-centric penis.
This episode is going to be kind of fun because, yes, we're talking about all the things that you just said, but it's not going to be like geared toward the public. This is just like for us.
No, it's not. This is not for us. We have fun.
Well, yeah. But what I mean is what we're going to be discussing today is not going to fall under every person. We're just sharing our own personal experiences and we're going to be like diving in heavily within the like anatomy of vulva and penis owners. But I look forward to episodes where we can share very personal stories and experiences between us. And that's what today is more
about. Yeah. Well, the purpose of today's episode is to talk about pleasuring a penis and pleasuring a vagina or a vulva, right? That's what we're doing today. We want to talk about a little bit of anatomy. We want to talk about different techniques to access that anatomy and how you can implement some things into your own life. We've done a lot in our own lives from personal experience. And then we add into that the academic side of things that we have. We think we've come up with some pretty comprehensive ways that allows pleasure to be accessed by most people, I would say.
Absolutely.
So we know that, I mean, we're going to get into some things like how important it is to know yourself so you can help instruct your partner and why that's an okay thing. But we also want to get into the actual specifics, portions of the penis, portions of the vulva, and up into the vagina, areas that are erogenous and how to access them best. But before we do that, if you have any questions that you want to drop to us or comments or anything like that, you are welcome to email us first name at comewithkc.com. So for me, it would be Casey at comewithkc.com. And for you, it's Carrie at comewithkc.com.
Yeah. And if you're unaware, we also have this like whole ass website now that you can go to. It's comewithkc, C-U-M with K and then C at Gmail, or I'm so sorry, at gmail.com, just literally .com. But I mean, I know that you've heard us talk about having a website for a while now, and with the help of one of our very close friends, this is like his bread and butter, creating websites. And we've really been working with him for a while, like as detailed as he is about the questions that he has asked us to have the website presented in the best way. Like, he's just done an exceptional job.
Yeah, for sure. And some of the things you can find on there, you can find out more about us on a personal level. You can submit inquiries for us for a few different things, including our coaching services. So if you're unaware, we have something called the Relationship Redirect, which is our couples relationship coaching, a systematic way for you to kind of, I don't want to say reignite, because I don't like to imply that like it's all gone and everything's and the ship's going down in flames.
The title that you came up with.
Yeah, the relationship redirect. That's what we happen. Yeah. That's what we have. That's what we recognize, is that you're not broken. A lot of times what people are going through, they feel as if everything's crashing down around them and their relationship's broken because the intimacy is gone. And they have people online telling them too, oh yes, you are broken and you need me. No, that's not what we're doing. What we are doing is saying that you've simply gone a little off course and it's time to make a redirect. You're both making a conscious decision that it's time to redirect. So let us help you do that. So you can inquire about coaching with us through the Relationship Redirect. You can look at our services that we offer in terms of photography for Shibari. You can also look at our kink coaching, because we do have kink specific coaching. And that's more geared. That's a good one, because that one's more geared toward people that are like, we're in a great place. And we also want to incorporate new things. We're unsure how to go about doing that. This could be something as simple as we want to introduce, you know, impact play into the bedroom, where we buy paddles and, you know, I get to spank my partner. It also can be saying we want to find a community of like-minded individuals near us where we can go and learn more about this stuff and be introduced. So we want to walk you through how to do a lot of that. So that one's a big one, because again, it's not geared towards we're having a bunch of issues. It's more geared towards we're having a good time and we want to figure out what tools. We want to figure out like what's the next level. So we offer that as well. So check out our website, comewithkc.com, where you can hear every episode of every almost 70 episodes of the podcast.
That's crazy. But
I think this is episode like 69, which is fun enough as it is. But you can get all episodes of the podcast. You can inquire about booking with us, whether it be virtual or in person. I mean, there's just a ton of stuff going on. And you can read our blog. It comes out on a weekly basis. that centers around all sorts of stuff. We have some cool things coming down the pipe there. So anyway, having said that and letting you know, you can reach out to us and check us out at comewithkc.com. Let's get into the episode. Today we're talking about pleasure. Pleasure.
Again, our mind goes to the same place.
The fact that that wasn't planned was fun.
It was not.
So yes, today we're talking about pleasuring. We want to specifically go with how to please your partner's penis or your partner's vagina, vulva, if you will. Mm-hmm. So Carrie, let's start there. I think we should start with vulva. I think we talked about this. Let's go ahead.
It is slightly more of a complex organism.
Is it?
In comparison to a penis, yes.
In terms of like its build or just the way that it's treated?
I would just say like difficulties.
Yeah.
You know, being a bisexual, I can speak on both ends. It is so much easier to, in my opinion, again, to please a penis owner than a vulva.
I agree with you 100%.
Like so much easier.
I own a penis, but I've never pleasured one.
True.
But
your own.
Everything that I've looked at, everything that I've seen, everything that I've studied, everybody that I've listened to, it's been consensus, like the same consensus is that vulvas are typically a little more complex whenever it comes to pleasure. And that is on both a emotional level stemming from the culture that we live in all the way to an anatomical level, because there are different parts that we can take a look at.
Yeah.
So why don't we start there? Let's start with the vulva. We're going to work from the outside in. And take a look at some of the major erogenous zones that we feel are most important. Starting with that one, and big or little, how you're looking at it, our favorite little Loch Ness monster.
Mm-hmm. Little Nessie.
Little Nessie, the clitoris. Mm-hmm. So if you've never heard us use that term before, we use the term little Nessie because if you look at the actual anatomy of a clitoris, it looks like the Loch Ness monster.
Yeah.
It does. It's got these like little bags on the side, which are those little bulbs. We've got like the neck of it coming up, which is homologous to the penis, and a little bean that sticks right out on the front side. So Carrie, let's hear from you. What are some of your favorite ways to have the clitoris taken care of?
So for me personally, and I am going to just lead with the fact that I am a slightly different when it comes to stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to clitoral stimulation, light rubbing, but that's not my like major focus when it comes
to. You do fall into what, the 23 to 27% of women that climax primarily through penetration.
And so like when it comes to clitoral stimulation, that's something that's like solo for me.
Yeah.
That's something
it's secondary, isn't it?
Yeah. Not when I'm masturbating though. If I'm masturbating, I will only come through clitoral. Clitoral, I swear to God.
No. I don't understand. You didn't say it incorrectly.
I think in my head I said couture because I've been watching so much like RuPaul Drag Race and everything is couture, so I thought I said that, but I guess I didn't.
No, you said say
couture. Okay. Anyways, so yeah, if I'm doing like solo play, yes, the clitoris is something that I'm going to primarily access. I'm not going to do penetration when I'm doing like. See,
that's so interesting to me because I know you. I mean, I've been around your vulva for the last 15 years, and you do primarily climax through penetration. So it'd be like, well, whenever I'm by myself, it's actually the opposite. It's clitoral.
And I don't think I have an answer for that, but I think it's healthy for women to hear that like there can be two different versions. I have tried penetration on myself. And I think in all of my years, I've come once by myself through like
toy usage.
Yeah. Mate once, but if I'm going to masturbate clitoral and I like 2 seconds, like give me 2 fucking seconds and I'm done. But like, if you were to go through and do clitoral for me, it would take like much longer.
Yeah. And that's something we've taken a look at is how long does it take for you to climax through these various types? Cause I mean, using a toy is going to be different for us personally than using like fingers, than using like external stimulation. So it's interesting to me that it is you know, whenever I'm having sex, it's this way. Whenever I masturbate, it's this other way.
Yeah.
So the important thing to note there is the fact that it's okay for it to be different, right? There's no expectation of being like, well, no, I'm supposed to have an orgasm from penetration. That's the way it's supposed to be. But that's a quarter of women actually have achieved climax through penetration alone.
And like, if you go down on me,
mm-hmm.
obviously the main focus is not the main, but you know, clitoral like licking and stuff like that. And then it's really not until you incorporate fingering me with going down on me that I like,
or penetrating you with my tongue.
Well, yeah, that's my favorite, but
that's exactly why I brought it up too.
Yeah. But I mean, think about even you knowing that clitoral stimulation is not that big of a thing for me.
Yeah.
When you go down on me, that's still where you go.
Yeah.
Like that is still one of your main focuses.
Yeah. And will still be clitoral stimulation.
Well, and that's fine. I still want that. It's not that I'm like, oh, please don't. It's just you knowing what my body wants mm-hmm. are that you can't only do that. You have to incorporate other.
Yeah. I like the experience. I like to explore. You know this.
Well, yeah. And like I said, I don't want you to, if you stop doing that, I would be offended, but I'm just saying I am not going to come in that way. And so there's aspects of, there's a point that I'm bringing this up is there's aspects to doing something for your partner that can also be then for yourself. I know you love like going down on me. Like you fucking love going down on me. Mm-hmm. And I do think that one of the things that you're drawn to is like licking my clit and like playing there. And then you'll incorporate other aspects of it as well.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I mean, I guess technically to answer your first question, I love my clitoris. I have a great relationship with it, but it's definitely not like my personal like end all be all.
Yeah.
And I love that we're actually bringing up this whole topic because we're going to be diving into more aspects of the vulva as a whole and like what other like zones that you can kind of play into. But you actually told me a really interesting fact about the clitoris the other day.
Yeah. So one of the things that I do here at CWKC is I do research. I love research. I'm an academic. I'm a lifelong academic. Anytime I'm reading books and I have that author suggest, you know, other authors or researchers, I'm immediately like adding them to a list and diving into what they have to say.
Yeah.
One of the big ones I had found out, and I didn't know this. I feel like a lot of people now have heard the notion that the clitoris has a ton of nerve endings in it. And for the most part, what you see is around 8,000 nerve endings. Mm-hmm. That's the number that people like to toss out, is that the clitoris has 8,000 nerve endings. Well, there's a study done in 2022. That actually they for the first time fully traced the amount of nervous tissue in the clitoris mm-hmm. and were able to determine that there's over 10,000 nerve endings in the clitoris, somewhere between 9 to 11 on average. I mean, so there's more than we thought
possible. That is crazy to think. That is crazy that like women get to experience that. Are you a little jealous?
Yeah. Do I? It's like clit envy.
Yeah. Like a little bit. It has a big bit. Like,
yeah. Well, that's kind of, I mean, I've had vagina envy before.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I think that if I was somebody that could experience pleasure in the way that women are capable mm-hmm. of experiencing it, down to like multiple orgasms and just the feeling of that, like the difference in erectile tissue, especially because the female erectile tissue just covers that so much area. I think that women have a greater capacity for pleasure than men.
For sure.
That's my opinion. Is that
you just don't know it.
Well, it's that you haven't been taught to access it.
If that's what I mean.
Yeah. Because culturally speaking, we shy away from that and say
we're in what 2020 fucking four before we realize what is actually happening around there.
Yes. There's a female or like vulva owner pleasure centers and just research around pleasure has a lot of catching up to do mm-hmm. because it used to be taboo to do something like that, to research pleasure. We have great researchers like Masters and Johnson and the Kinsey Institute and all these people who have paved the way mm-hmm. for us to be able to have these conversations, because there was a time whenever it wasn't okay. Yeah. You're not allowed to talk about female anatomy, and we don't talk about pleasure. We didn't do research around it. And it was just, here's the expectation. And it was so old school. It was so, I hate to use the word biblical, but I feel like that's appropriate almost. Yeah. So now we're finally entering in the last, you know, decade, 15, 20 years or so, where it's okay to do the research and it's okay to talk about it. And it becomes more important that female women's pleasure is a super important thing. So we do.
I mean, you would think with as little as people know about it, at some point there would be this like pull to understand it better. And I feel like we're slightly getting there, right?
Yeah.
I'm just shocked that it's taken us this long. But then I guess at the same time, I'm not super sure.
Well, so, you know, one of the concepts that you and I love, and mm-hmm. like the audience isn't going to be super familiar with this, is like that pendulum, mm-hmm. that pendulum swing about how society shifts their thinking. And one of the things that we do know is that typically literature is the first thing to come up with normalizing a concept. It starts with literature and moves into art, so music and media and mm-hmm. all of that, and then the public catches up. And it takes years for the public to catch up to where the arts and where research is. So we've been seeing it happen in scientific communities. We've been seeing it happen in artistic communities. And now the public's catching up to it to be like, oh, this is a cool thing. This, now we want to popularize it. Now we want to, you know, like disseminate the information around the globe. And who is there to do that? Yeah. We want to be some of the people to do that. So it's been really, really cool to see this boom. Like we talked about last week with the erotic literature boom and the pleasure boom has been really fucking cool to see. It's been really cool.
So then I'm going to ask you, like, you clearly have more experience in this aspect than I do. And I know that you've been with me for a while, but like, how difficult have you experienced in the past, like pleasuring other clits than like even like my own? Like, have you found that like each woman that you've been with do slightly like want to feel something different, experience something different? Like, what is your experience in that?
Everyone's different. Mm-hmm. Every single person that I've been with has been different. Not all of it has been great experiences because there was, I mean, you know, I'm 36 now. Yeah. So before, there's been times where I didn't know to ask questions.
Yeah.
Especially like being younger, whenever you're first, you know, teens, early 20s, and you're being with a person, you don't realize that you should be asking them, how do they like to receive pleasure? I think one of the greatest questions in like pleasure-centric relationships is to ask, how do you receive pleasure? Because there's been times...
I don't know how to answer that, though. Not everyone does. If you asked me that when we first started dating, I wouldn't know how to answer that question.
And I think that that's fucking beautiful. I think that's a solid realization to have, that if you are someone that you get asked the question, hey, in what ways do you enjoy receiving pleasure? Mm-hmm. And you go, well, I don't know. That to me is an invitation to explore it. If you do struggle with that by saying, well, I'm not sure how I receive pleasure. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, have you ever had an orgasm? If the answer is no, like, let's dive further into that. Or if it's, I don't know, I think that I have.
Yeah.
I can't speak for anyone because I'm not one. But one of the biggest things that we see from some of these authors that do write on pleasure is that whenever they're discussing, these female authors, whenever they are discussing the orgasm, mm-hmm. and they have a client or someone they know that says, I don't know if I've had an orgasm, they typically go, okay, then you haven't.
Then you haven't.
Because they're like, you know when you have one.
I said that to a client. She was like, well, I don't know if I've had an orgasm. I'm like, then you haven't. It's very clear.
Little blips of pleasure.
But in all honesty, though, for women, it can kind of be confusing. Like, as a male, you get a very obvious physical response of an orgasm.
Yeah, there's
it's very clear.
Yeah, it's an objective finding. Like, there's cum.
There it is. But honestly, as a woman, there's been so many times that I was, and there, even now having sex with you, I could be like in the moment and everything felt so good. But could I 100% like say that was fully an orgasm versus just a massive intense feeling?
Yeah.
And so I think that is relatable for women to say that. Now, I know that we're like slightly joking about it. And if you don't know if you have, then you haven't. There's a lot of truth to that. But a woman's orgasm is not so black and white.
No, it's not.
It's not so just like clear, you know? Mm-hmm. And before we dive into that further, I still want to ask though, like, did you experience with someone where they were like so aggressive on the clit? That is my biggest thing, to where you were having, you're not having, you were having intercourse, but then like clitoral stimulation had to happen.
Yeah. Okay. Oh yeah, absolutely. I've experienced that in like in interactions before.
Yeah.
Is to have somebody that, I mean, again, this is, we're talking about, you know, 3/4 of the population, right? Mm-hmm. Who require some form of clitoral stimulation to achieve orgasm. So yeah, absolutely. It's been,
so would that have been something that like, either say y'all were having like penetrative sex and you like needed to use a toy, or you wanted to use like maybe like your thumb the entire time? Like how difficult is that as a male to, I can't use my left hand and my right hand and do something different at the same time. And I know this is an odd question, but like,
that's not an odd question at all, but I feel like, I hope you have what my answer is already in your head.
I don't.
I feel like I have an unfair advantage.
I'm not talking about
okay. you with you either, but okay. you're saying that in my experiences with somebody like that, difficulty in like doing with the hands and all that. I'm a musician. I can easily, you know, pat my head and rub my tummy at the same time and without even thinking about it. I have good dexterity and strength in my fingers and hands.
Yes, he does, ladies.
And so that's always been something. It's become like, what does this person require to achieve climax? And that's a message that I have for any penis owner out there, that especially because, again, we live in a culture that shames people, shames men specifically for being like, if you can't get her to achieve orgasm with your penis, then you're less than somehow.
I just hope that's still not the like.
Oh, there's still people that believe
it. God, that's so not okay. And
That's the same people that see toys as competition. That's the same people that's like,
so weird.
It's somehow their ability to have a woman achieve orgasm is like with just their penis alone is like a sign of masculinity or a sign of success.
Did you ever feel that way growing up until you got more educated?
Honestly, no.
Okay.
It's never been a heavy concentration of mine to be like, no, I got to make her come with my cock.
I mean, you were so excited about using toys on me when we first got together that I wasn't taken back by any means. I was like, holy shit. It was this whole different level of like confidence that I had not experienced with a male before, because I do think that they had that mindset. If you can't come from this dick, then like, I'm less than. Yeah. I'm not good enough.
Either that or they're going to flip it on there and say, there must be something wrong with you. Yeah. If you're not having an orgasm
and
from
I've had,
me.
And then, I've had that too.
Then there, you must be broken somehow.
I've had that too. Like, don't you remember when we first dated? That's not how
pleasure works.
Don't you remember when we first dated? And I was like, dude, I have not come before.
I do remember you telling me that.
But I also remember being like, I think that there's something wrong with
me. But what you also told me in the past is that you could achieve orgasm, but it required penetration and clitoral stimulation, so you would masturbate during sex in order to achieve orgasm.
But I can also tell the difference between a clitoral orgasm and a penetrative orgasm, and every time that I orgasmed was
clitoral.
So, and my clitoral orgasm is like tiny.
Yeah, well, and there's a few different, you're gonna get into a whole different subject, because there's different schools of thought of where the source of orgasm comes from.
Yeah,
and that there are a number of academics out there who will say there's only one type of orgasm, mm-hmm. and that is clitoral. And the suggestion there is that even with a penetrative orgasm, because the crus of the clitoris and the bulbs of the clitoris fall to either side of the vaginal opening, that what you're actually doing is stimulating the clitoris on some level. Mm-hmm. And so the nerve endings that you're stimulating, it's all that erectile tissue of the clitoris. And so you are only having one type of orgasm. It's just being stimulated in a different way.
Okay.
Now, that's not everybody. That is not everybody. That is a group of academics that say that. There's also other people that are like, no, they're entirely fucking separate. You're never going to tell me otherwise.
Some guy said that.
Some dude with a fucking test tube said that shit. But I think that looking at it is that there are different type of orgasms. It doesn't matter if it's coming from the same place. If you feel they are different, then they are different. Mm-hmm. And no one's ever going to say, like, be able to tell you, No, no. What you had was the same orgasm, just different intensities.
Yeah, because I can honestly tell you there, I feel a difference between a penetration and a clitoral one. But just really quickly before we move on to the next topic, so we're not just only talking about clits, can you just please explain to people that are listening to this and they don't know where to find the clit, if you could give them a very like brief description on how to find it?
On how to find the little man in the boat?
Yes.
Oh, I think the biggest thing to understand is that the clitoris that you see on the externally that you can find is a small portion of the clitoris as a whole. That little bean right there is, if you just follow the labia majora and the labia minora, so those minora, those inner lips, right, that you're seeing, the ones that you typically can get different sizes and shapes of, if you just follow those up to the very top, right to where they meet, and then just kind of put your hand up near the pubic bone and pull back, you'll be able to pull back the clitoral hood and actually expose the clitoris itself. So it's not difficult to find. I think that a lot of the jokes were like, oh, it's having trouble finding it. It's more of just like trying to make someone orgasm. It's all centered around orgasm, very different than finding the actual anatomy itself.
And then also, as you know, a vulva owner, I will say, like, if I had a guy ask me, hey, can you show me yours? Can you please show me where it's
at? I think that's the best thing that you could do.
Yes. Yes. Please let me show you. Because at that point, like, I don't know any girl that'd be like, no. I would be like, oh, I'll show you right now. Like, and it, but in all honesty, like, that I think is 100% okay to ask. I don't care if you've been with your partner for 15 years. Hey, can you show me where that is? Or this is like the partner that you have consent with and that you have just started to engage with. And you're like, can you please show me yours? It would be a huge turn on. Can I please just like see it? Can you show me? Can you guide me? Yeah. Because as the owner of said clit, that would be a turn on for me. I'm like, oh, wow, you're so interested about my anatomy.
You care. It's, yeah, you like, care you actually so much care.
About my anatomy that you then want me to show you. And then it's also, again, like this like deep level of kind of being like turned on by like, oh, yeah, I'll show you.
Yeah.
I don't know. So just use that advice. But there are
Do you have a favorite way? Because we want to talk about techniques too.
Yes, we do.
Do you have a favorite way that you like to experience pleasure with having your clit stimulated?
So it would probably be where you do like the O shape with your lips.
Yeah.
And then you put my clit like inside your O shape. And then you do a slight sucking and then you use your tongue on the inside.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a good way for like the oral one.
You kind of like suck it forward into your mouth.
Oh, I'm very aware of what I do.
And then you like, but it's not like a hard flick of the tongue. I don't like the super the fast, soft. Hard flick. I like more of the like hard, like caressing of the tongue.
Yeah.
And it could even be like a little bit like quicker, but I'm not a huge fan of the like point your tongue and like as fast as you can, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, tongue's a muscle, just like the rest of the body. Right. And so you can, you know, thin your tongue out and make it like flex the muscle and it gets really hard, or you can widen out and make it really soft. It's what you do.
But so I do love where you kind of like suck it hard and then you play with it soft.
Yeah.
That should be the title of this.
Suck it hard, play with it soft. I like that. I mean, there's so many ways you can do. I know that one of my, and I mean, I've been told that you enjoy this in the past. One of my favorite ways to the things to do is I like to use one of my hands and put your labia minora and clit in between two fingers and do a circular motion like that while using my tongue.
Yeah.
So it's like the erogenous tissue that fits through my fingers to be able to use tongue on that and then make a circular motion with the fingers at the same time.
Well, because you almost like
it's like grabbing it.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. You almost like grab it and like center it and then utilize your tongue.
Yeah.
So it's almost doing the same thing that I like, but instead of the fingers, you're like pulling it out with your lips.
Okay.
You know?
So clitoris pleasure. Take a few of those techniques and enjoy it. So let's move to like more.
Oh, really fast. Do not dry hand top of the clit, expose clit. Like, it is so sensitive. Do not do that. Lick your hands, lick your fingers, lick use the lube. Area. Use lube if you want. Doesn't matter, but do not go from like rough skin to exposed clitoris.
Yeah.
Okay.
So from the clitoris, if we move down to the vaginal opening and just on the inside about inch and a half, mm-hmm. maybe 2 inches, everyone's different. As we said, if you take a finger there and you feel it, you're going to feel a rough patch of skin. It's going to be rigid right there. I don't mean dry or anything, but just a little bit more rigid than the rest.
It's so interesting.
Which is where we find what has been commonly referred to as the G-spot.
Yeah.
Graphene spot. So how do we pleasure that? And what's the purpose? What's the significance of pleasuring a spot like that?
Squirting. No.
If, in actuality.
If, I mean, for me, but.
If someone is able to yeah. squirt, which a lot of women are, and that is a whole nother psychological perspective, but if you're able to, that would be the spot where you can stimulate to do so. But it's on the what we call the anterior wall of the vagina, or the front wall, the wall closest to the front of the body. That area is also sensitive. This is one that I love to talk about, because not a lot of people go into shallow penetration or like shallow stimulation. Everyone's like, I need to get deep in there. I need to go real deep, and or I need to be either on the outside or way deep on the inside. And they don't realize that just a little bit of movement within that area can release an entire environment of pleasure for a person.
So when did you find that spot in a woman?
Ooh, I would say I have to think back on that now.
Because you were probably the first one to show me that.
Yeah. Well, I already told you this. The first time I ever saw squirting happen was in a porno.
Yeah.
And I was probably in early high school whenever I saw that. And I remember being like, that's cool. How do I make that happen? Like, how do I do that?
You cracked me the fuck up with your like early on obsession. I benefit greatly from it, but like you're early on.
Yeah.
Want for that kind of stuff. I will never say is abnormal, but is intriguing.
Okay. Do you want to study me or have me studied?
I kind of do. Because like obviously I have vastly reaped the benefits of your early on sexual curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
But because again, like I was saying, I have never had someone touch me in the way that you have without it, like you said, being overly stimulated on the outside and then thinking just massive penetration on the inside.
Yeah.
Because the era that you're speaking of, again, like you said, like you barely have to put your fingers inside me to that's taught me that I can actually feel on myself.
Mm-hmm.
Now I still have not been able to make myself come that way, but I as soon as you say it, I'm so aware of the era that you're speaking of. And I just feel like it's an era that a lot of people don't know about.
Which also means that if you are listening and you're like, I've heard of this, but I don't know it. Test it on yourself. Like go into a bathroom.
It's really
like, go to home or something and just kind of. But you'll feel it. It's this little like rigid, more rough patch of skin.
So if you're like touching yourself, you just insert your fingers and then do a motion coming like toward you or like into
that's
your
that
body.
That come here up. Motion we talk about.
Yeah. That
or the Spider-Man, motion, if you will.
Or the Spider-Man, exactly. But as soon as you do that, and again, you don't have to be deep. Like
It's not deep. It's a very shallow portion.
Right there.
But that's a great spot to stimulate. And it's one that you can do, especially if you're like performing oral on someone and you're saying like using your tongue and lips on the vulva, you can insert your fingers and just hit that spot right there. And you get a lot of reaction from it. Now, of course, this is something where it's that conversation of like, how do you experience pleasure? If there's someone that's like, I'm good. I don't need that at all. Or I don't want that at all. Okay. That's fine. Or if it's something where it's like, yeah, sure. Let's try it out and see what happens. You could have some great results.
I think the important part, and you're saying it without saying it, is just communicating it.
Yeah.
Like, but at the same time,
that's the heart of pleasure is communication.
Yeah, it is.
Always.
But at the same time, it's like, if you're hearing this and you've never tried that before, like obviously ask permission to try something new on your partner. Can I try this with you? This is something that I heard or have them listen to the episode. They're talking about this spot. Can I lay you down and explore? And I think it's really fucking okay to ask your partner, can I explore you sexually?
Yeah. Let's try this.
This. We have never tried it before. I don't know what I'm doing. And I think it's fair to just openly admit that I don't know what I'm doing, but I heard this. I saw this.
Yeah.
I really want
to try. I got this tip. I had this thing, saw this stuff. I would like to try it with you. What do you think about it?
So my whole thing too with that is like, how many times of trying
to get a girl to squirt? Like, how long did it take you before you're like, oh, okay, she's squirting now?
Not long. That was, I.
But what was it? Because, like, that's just something that's so unique. And I understand that a lot of women that you've been with, you've been able to get them or have them squirt, not give yeah. them, but their body responds in the way seeking.
Oh,
but,
okay.
It's like, just so not normal. Not, you know what I mean? It's just, it's like, how the fuck do you do that?
The first experience that I had with that was, I think it was like, I was like 18, mm-hmm. probably there. And it was somebody that I had like a very quick, not serious relationship with, in which I started, you know, using my hands on, and she ended up mm-hmm. squirting. Mm-hmm. And so but the thing was, I already knew what it was, and I already knew that I was attracted to it. And whenever it happened, it was not expected.
Okay.
And it was something I was like,
on both ends. I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't expect yeah. that. You didn't expect that.
Right. Okay. But it was, I mean, fuck, I celebrated it.
Well, yeah.
To be like, wow, okay, that this is an actual thing. This is not just like a fantasy fake thing that yeah. that somebody's telling me is true. This is real. Mm-hmm. And so from there, it was just like, okay, I can make this happen.
Yeah.
And then it's the confidence that comes along with yeah. that, being like, I can make this happen. So yes, the G-spot's a great way to access good pleasure spots with your partner. And again, go inside the vaginal opening around 1.5-2 inches tops and feel for that kind of like rough area there, and then stimulate that with fingers or a toy or whatever you can.
So as a penis owner, what are some like good positions, sexual, like sex penetrated positions mm-hmm. that can still stimulate that? And I guess what I'm thinking is, like, I know a lot of, I mean, everyone.
I have two already in mind.
Okay. Just in real quick, let me finish that but think about like guys that are a little bit smaller. Mm-hmm. And it's so this like, oh no, if you're penetrating, you have to penetrate so deep.
Yeah.
No, but you're literally telling us that there's this like spot barely outside or barely yeah. inside the vagina or the vulva that will grant you amazing pleasure. Mm-hmm. And so maybe the position thing isn't an exact way to say this, but I still want your answer. But would you say that someone that isn't fucking 7.5 inches long that could still benefit from being any size and still stimulating this?
Yeah, point? For sure. It would benefit anybody that it doesn't matter. So, I mean, the entire vaginal canal itself is what, like 5 inches deep?
Yeah.
Something right in there. Yeah. So at that point, the penetrative orgasm is the one that benefits from the larger penis. That's mm-hmm. the truth there. The mm-hmm. most other people, most other people can benefit from most sizes.
Yeah.
But if you are someone that's like, okay, well, I'm, you know, I don't have a micro penis, but I've got something I can work with. Find positions that can stimulate those areas. And two positions that mm-hmm. work very well for this. One is going to be, I mean, there's a number of names for it, but essentially it's like missionary, but you fold your partner's legs back.
Like, so like the girl's legs are all the way back.
Yeah, as far back okay. as you can get them.
Okay.
Like without causing any sort of physical discomfort. Mm-hmm. But as far back as you can get them. And then you can actually, as the penis owner, sink down a little bit lower. So this works for me personally. This works really well if you're on the edge of a bed.
Okay.
Because then I can push your legs back and I can sink down a little bit, so I can angle my penis a little bit forward so it strokes mm-hmm. that front wall of mm-hmm. you. So if I can get to that angle, then I can just move back and forth. It doesn't have to be a super deep penetration, but I can just move back and forth and you're going to get the experience of getting that spot stimulated.
So it's almost like a rocking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can pretty much just rock inside.
And then also as a vulva owner, they can be in that position and you can rock back and yep. forth. It's actually really easy when you're
two-way road. It's not all about one person doing the work.
Like that, like just because you're on bottom doesn't mean you can't then take control. That's a great position to then have the vulva owner move up and down and back mm-hmm. and the penis owner can actually just like stand still if you're doing the side of the bed standing position.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of times where we'll go into that and then you just sit there and then I like rock back and
forth. Yeah, for sure.
And then it does allow me to kind of control that sense of pleasure. But then I'm gonna ask you as like the penis owner, I mean, I would assume it still feels good, but like,
oh yeah, absolutely it does. Yes. Okay. That's one thing that, and we've had that question before too, of someone saying, I feel like if, you know, he's doing this certain move or my partner's doing this certain move, then, you know, what if they're not feeling pleasure? Well, ask them. does this feel good for you? And partner, don't lie don't if lie. It doesn't, but you can also say, I'm getting pleasure of the fact that you are getting pleasure. And that is perfectly fine by me. I don't need 100% of the time to be in this state of ecstasy, right? Yeah. I can take times whenever you're receiving pleasure and I'm providing it for you, or I'm being the conduit in which you are achieving pleasure.
And I think that's so fucking important to understand that rarely in any type of sexual act are both of you receiving the same amount of pleasure at the same time. And to think that that's how it needs to be is just not.
It's like that's that whole thing of being like, we know we're going to orgasm at the same time. It's cool when it happens,
but
it's not the norm. It doesn't need to be the attainable goal or the big goal that you're trying to get to is no, we have to come at the same time.
I mean, yeah, but even like just thinking or assuming that every position you both feel something, because I will do that. I'll be like, yeah. God, this feels, say I love sex in the shower.
Yeah.
But for you as a penis owner, you don't get as much pleasure from sex in the shower as I do.
Yeah, we've talked about this, and I'll share the personal information on that one, is that the two things that are not great about the shower, one, the water flow. Mm-hmm. So it almost creates a barrier between like me and you of trying to have sex. And it's like, okay, you don't feel as much. And the other thing, and this is very personal for me, is that hot temperature of the water that we're in, I don't know what it is, but I don't like feel as much. So I'll usually like move the shower head away from myself and be like, here, you can have the water, because if the water's on me, I'm not feeling as much.
Yeah.
That hot water, that whole heat thing is just like, it just decreases pleasure for me.
But that wouldn't stop you from.
No, because it's not going to stop. Yeah. It's gonna, not going to stop anything, because I know how pleasurable it can be. And like, I get off on knowing that you get off.
So, you know, in all honesty, it's kind of the same way. Like when we are having sex in the shower, the one of the reasons that I really enjoy it is because I don't feel it on the outside. That's one of the rare times I feel it entirely just on the inside.
Yeah.
And it probably is because of the water. It's probably a lot of reasons, but that is one of the rare times that I actually feel like how deep you are inside of me versus everything else being stimulated at the same time. And sometimes that depth sensation I lose when we're in the bedroom, but in the shower, that's where I feel it.
Yeah.
Especially
because you know, the whole like standing doggy, that kind of stuff is good deep penetration.
It really is. And again, it allows me to feel it deep and not allowing all my outsiders to like, step in and feel.
The other position that we're going to talk about in terms of stimulating the G-spot is one of my favorites. It's energy consuming, penis owners. It takes some work, but it is so worth it. And that is a doggy style position in which I would not suggest using this on a bed because it's a soft mattress. Do this on the floor. And that's whenever you're in doggy style, like you're turned around on your knees and I would be crouching behind you. So I'm standing on my feet, crouched down in a squatted position and essentially thrusting from that direction. And then I can have more control because I can actually
crouching tiger hitting my dragon.
There it is. knew something like that was coming. But it allows me to take that kind of angle. And if I like kind of lift myself up a little bit, now I'm hitting that front wall.
Yeah.
And I can just, it's so the, and it, the, it's pleasurable for both people. And we'll get to this, but because the backside of my penis or the frenulum of my penis is actually rubbing that wall. So now I'm getting extra pleasure and you're getting pleasure from it. So that's a really good way to stimulate the G-spot as well. The last two that we'll talk about, because we're keeping it to like some of the main points. There's plenty of ways to stimulate a vulva, but the would be the front and back of the cervix. So at the very, for people that aren't super familiar with anatomy, at the back of the vagina, you have the cervix. That's typically, if you're going through childbirth, that's the area in which the baby passes through. But that cervix is
the thing that has a dilate to like the size of a fucking watermelon, but it's normally the size of a straw. But it's normally the size of a straw.
It can stretch.
Yeah, that thing.
And I wonder how many raccoons can fit through there.
The most elastic part of a human body. The cervix.
But the cool thing about the cervix is that removing it from the like the reproductive side and moving it towards the pleasurable side is both the front or the anterior fornix and the back or the posterior fornix. So your A spot and P spot are actually quite pleasurable areas.
So those happen to be, those probably are the ones that I like then.
Yeah.
If I like penetration so much.
Yeah, that's one that I can get a good reaction out of you if I do like deep penetration. And this is with fingers, toys, or a penis, is that if I go specifically to one of those areas and stimulate, you go pretty wild.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Do I go wild?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know you pretty well.
Yeah.
But you can, I mean, those are good. Those are good ones to like talk to your partner, because understand that some people have a very sensitive cervix. So some people are like, I don't want that area touched. Like, I don't want you to go like very deep because it causes me physical pain.
Yeah.
And other people are like, fuck that. Pound it. Get as deep as you can, as hard as you can, and hit those spots.
I mean, I'm assuming that's why, like, if I'm close to my cycle or something, that area is uncomfortable. If
You have inflammation going on in the area, you have increased sensitivity, and sometimes it's going to be an area where it's like, no, I'm actually getting, this is creating painful sex, and I don't want that. So I don't want that area stimulated. So it's important to have that open line of communication to make sure that the area that you are stimulating is pleasurable. But both of those, the front of the cervix and the back of the cervix, is so again, that cervix, that's that protrusion that you can see, that like kind of circular feeling protrusion into the vagina. So if you are someone that's using your hands and you reach all the way to the back and you feel that kind of bulb that's there, that's the cervix. You're going to feel a tiny hole in the center of it right there. So just go to the front or go to the back and you can see how your partner responds to those areas being stimulated and use that for your advantage.
Yeah. Sweet.
It doesn't mean basic ways to please the vulva.
Hey, I mean, these
without getting like too technical with it, right?
Yeah.
So then let's talk about penises. Let's talk about pleasuring a penis.
Now you just sit there and be quiet and I'm gonna take over.
Oh yeah? Are you?
No, I am not.
I mean, this is the fun part of the conversation, because penises are not complex.
Yeah.
We're not. As much as you want to be like, yes, I am, I'm super deep, and your mind is, for sure. You need to be aroused. Like, you should, you know, make yourself pleasure centric and start to do things that feel good. But the actual pleasing of a penis, you have all of the structures that receive pleasure on the outside.
Yeah.
It's
no hidden gym.
Yeah. I mean, a prostate's going to be a hidden gym.
There's one hidden gym.
You can talk about going through the backside for a group of people that enjoy prostate pleasure. But for the most part, your penis is all out there. So if we're talking about like homologs or the same in from one gender to the next, is that the clitoris is like the glands of the penis, the head of the penis. Mm-hmm. So think about that in terms of sensitivity. You have this area that enjoys being touched, teased, licked, sucked on, moved around. And one of the big areas of that you can please is the frenulum. So backside of the penis. So let's say that you're like the pleasure giver. You're the partner. And you have a person laying on the bed in front of you. And they have a penis. And you hold it up in front of you. That area where the head like wraps around and meets at like a V shape. That right there is the frenulum. That is the area that is a really, really good one for you to start to tease and use to your advantage. It can be sensitive, but so it's a really good one.
Kind of how we were talking earlier, where you can like make your tongue hard or you can make your tongue soft. That's a great area to explore that with when it comes to your tongue.
Oh, for sure.
There's a lot of times that I'll like go through and I'll do like one like really long, thick lick on that area, or I'll go through and I'll like put my tongue more sharp and I'll like go fast over that area or something.
We talked about this. One of the good move, because one of the things that we like to do whenever we're fooling around or we're having sex or anything like that is like tell each other, remember what you're doing right now, because I want more of that.
Me all the time, and I'm just like, baby, I don't even know what I'm doing.
You need like a book of these things.
I need a video every time so I can be like, okay, he liked that then. Because me as like an oral or a head, like, you know, whatever,
I try something new almost every single time. Yeah. I'm doing something with my hand. I'm doing something with my tongue. I'm doing something with my speed. I'm like, but I, that is one of those main areas that I always will like go back to.
Yeah.
That is one of your favorites.
Yeah. And there's a few things you can do for that. One of my favorites is, so if you soften the mouth and just keep the tongue extended, so sticking it out of your mouth, and then just move up and down and just hit that frenulum area, like let the tongue rest on it and just move it up and down. So you're essentially going up and down the shaft. Mm-hmm. This can be with a hand added in or not, but essentially like going up and down the shaft and just letting that tongue run across that frenulum back and forth. It can be slow, it can be fast. Ask your partner what they enjoy. Yeah. Even in the moment, like you can stop for a second and be like, does that feel good? Whenever they say, fuck yes, it feels good. You're like, yeah, great. Do you want want me to keep it at that speed or should I go faster or slower? And find out what they want until they get to a point where they're like actively mm-hmm. knowing what you're doing and saying faster, slower. Because for us, I know we're both big on this. Like we like giving direction in the moment.
Yeah.
Because you're essentially saying, here's how I experience pleasure. Please do this.
But we also like pleasure differently at different times. And so it is helpful.
Yeah.
Like, there's been plenty of times where you're like, no, I really like it just really like slow mm-hmm. and like wet or whatever. And those other times you're like, you did this really fast paced thing.
Yeah.
At the tip. And I really liked that.
Yeah. So ask your partner, because it's times where you can be like, I want you to be aggressive and rough with me. Mm-hmm. And there's times where I want you to be so slow, soft, sensual. Like let's work on that. Yeah. So that's a good one is the frenulum. Of course, the entire head of the penis can be used there. The shaft of the penis. If you don't already know, like grip it with your hand, find a pressure for your grip that your partner enjoys. There's times where it might be like too much. There's mm-hmm. times where it might be too soft. Use your saliva. If you can't, like that's a, so one of the biggest tips that I think that we have there in terms of saliva, because some people are like, well, I don't have that much saliva to use. Try go to the point where you almost initiate your gag reflex. Don't necessarily initiate the gag reflex because
it will produce saliva, I promise.
Yes, that's natural physiological response. If you start hitting that area, like right near the back, right where you're activating the gag reflex, but just shy of it, mm-hmm. you're gonna get a nice production of saliva. And that saliva, I would bet that your partner's pretty into it.
Yeah, I'm like, I have never heard of a guy complaining about too much saliva and head.
Yeah. Like, ooh, that spit. Ooh.
Yeah. But I have yet to hear it. So
use that. And then, so now you're adding in the hand, and that can be a stroke with the hand. That can be, you can add a twisting motion with the hand. You can cup the balls with the hand, which is also like a great one. So use a massage technique, ask them how much pressure they like. If they say you can go harder, go harder. If they say, oh, ease up a little bit, don't take that as you're doing it wrong. Take that as, okay, ease up a bit. Yeah. Like take it. Like that's at a point whenever there's so much surface value to it. Whenever someone's giving you feedback, it's not negative feedback. It's not you're doing it wrong. It's here's what I enjoy.
Yeah.
So don't beat yourself up. Don't think that you're doing it wrong. Okay. So I was like, organize myself here. So we've done frenulum. We did the head of the full head of the penis, or the glands is what that's called. You have the shaft of the penis. Mm-hmm. You can take it further than that. We already said you can incorporate the balls. You know, suck on them, please.
Again, I do think that
suck on them, please.
Yeah. I think that that's like a forgotten aspect to the male anatomy.
I don't think that some people realize how pleasurable it is to have them.
I hear so many girls that are like, oh, I don't ever like grab his balls. I'm like, why?
Why not?
Like, obviously, like you said, like be gentle, but it is a very, very pleasurable, especially while like receiving head or even when we're having sex. Like I'll mm-hmm. try to like reach down and like grab your balls and just like massage them like while we're having intercourse. Like
it helps. It's another erogenous zone.
I've always thought of it or equated it to like your breasts.
Yeah.
Your breasts, they feel great when they're stimulated and played with. And I almost would feel like balls probably gets more stimulation than I feel like breasts do, but I don't really know. That's situational.
You don't have balls.
I do. That's what I'm saying. And that's situational. And like in my breasts, like they don't actually get as much stimulation as I wish that they did. Like physical, not you touching.
You know,
I don't get that much from it, unfortunately. I really wish
there it is.
I know women that are like, oh, I grab my breast when I like masturbate and it like adds to it, and that'd be so cool. But like, I just unfortunately, I don't get that.
It's a small percentage of people that can achieve like that nipple or that breast only stimulation orgasm.
Yeah, that just unfortunately doesn't work for me. But I still think that you can kind of equate the two together. Like play with the fucking balls. If you're down there, play with them. They're already in your face. You might as well touch them. You got two hands. I guarantee you both hands aren't on the shaft.
Yeah.
Not all the time. Not all the time.
Explore.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing. I think the takeaway from that is just explore. Because outside of the things we talked about, the pubic area, you can massage that. Thighs, you can massage that. The perineum, which is that, I mean, you what do you like to call it?
The chode.
It's not a chode, but you like to call it that.
Fucking chode.
The taint.
The taint.
Yeah. So that area, it's really good to stimulate. Why is that good to stimulate? Because if you didn't know this, your actual penis goes, 6 inches? Into the body. So what you're seeing on the outside is not all there is to the penis. There's a whole nother portion of it that's on the inside that can be stimulated through the perineum. You also have close to the perineum is an indirect way to stimulate the prostate.
Heyo, next topic.
So now you're able to just rub that middle area between the bottom of the ball sack and the actual anus to where you can say, okay, this can feel good. You know, be careful with pressure, make sure you're communicating with your partner, but that's a really great area to stimulate. You can use that with hands. You can lick that area. You can do whatever you want to, as long as it's pleasurable and consensual. But then you want to talk about the anus is what it sounds like. Both partners can benefit from having the anus stimulated.
Yeah.
The type of tissue that's there has an increased amount of blood flow, lots of nervous endings.
But,
so it's
males have a stronger response than females do for anal play, right?
Do they?
I don't know, doctor.
I mean, you're the one that just made the claim.
I know, but I thought we were talking the other day and that we did say that like there's something different within the male prostate to the female prostate.
Well,
like, it's not the exact same
location. So females don't have what we would refer to as this is your prostate.
Yeah, that's why we don't
have they have something that is a homologue or the equivalent of a prostate, which is located in a different area.
So we have like the wish version.
No. No, it's not a less than. It's not less than. It's nothing else other than these are the formations of anatomy. Okay. But deeper within the anus, you do have access to. You have access to the prostate, and the prostate has a lot of nerve endings in it for men. And it's a really, really great way if it's consensual, if they're into it, for you to help increase pleasure. So there's people that are going to be like, yes, I'm fine with having something inserted inside me, whether it be fingers or a toy or anything else. And to have that. Yeah. Some people, I'm not one of those
people.
I can feel your like vindictiveness. Not this guy.
This one made you come from your ass, Casey.
It's not something that I've traditionally been into.
I know.
It's I've always,
and I respect.
Yeah, we have that. It's like I'm open to try things. I'm absolutely open to explore. But whenever it becomes like uncomfortable and it becomes like this doesn't feel good, I'm not receiving pleasure from it, then time to back off.
Yeah. No, and that's one thing that I will say, like with when it comes to anything that we want to explore sexually, you've always been willing, but you're also really good at communicating what it just doesn't necessarily work for you.
Yeah.
And this is an aspect that hasn't worked for you, but I don't want that to deter any of our listeners. I don't want a guy to think like, oh, this just isn't for me, because it's not. Like,
yeah. And we especially don't want our penis owning listeners to be like, well, I don't do that because that's gay.
Yeah.
Which is other things that we're like, that's the furthest from any sort of truth.
That, but if you are a penis owner and listening, like, I want you to look at like 5 of your friends and at least 2 of them very much enjoy it. Like, they don't talk about it and people don't talk about it because they're like, oh, it's taboo to talk about.
Yeah. Which, you know, but, is like a major complaint that I have. So I'm like, yeah. I love the fact that women have this ability to sit around and talk about like pleasure and sex and all that. And I mean, maybe it happens less often than I assume that it happens, but I think it's an amazing and beautiful thing to sit down and be like, oh my God, we, you know, me and my partner tried this, or like, this is how I receive pleasure, or this is what I like, or this is what they like. Whenever you don't get a ton of guys that sit down in a group and be like, dude, this is what I enjoy, or this is what I tried out. We're so like covetous of how we receive pleasure in that sense, and it sucks. Like, I would love to be able to sit down with my friends and be like, man, you know what I found out that I can do? Check this out. And tell them about a story that I have, or about an encounter that I had, or something, just to be like, let's talk about sex. Let's talk about pleasure.
I you know, I do think that y'all are kind of missing out, because a lot of the aspects of my own sexuality that I realized and found to be so vastly normal came from talking about it to other women.
Yeah.
I didn't like Google the way that I masturbate, is this normal? I talked about it with my friends and realized that, oh shit, she does it that way, and she does it that way too. And so now I don't feel so bad for the way that I choose to masturbate, but I feel like it's the same, or it could be the same with guys. Like, again, I understand that my field of work has put me into a totally different realm of understanding and hearing sexual stories, and I'm so thankful for that. But like, there are so many men and husbands that want anal play. There are so many men that I hear about that do get pegged by their wives, that do have a finger in their ass every single time they get head. But they don't talk about it. So if you're listening to this show and you have never tried it, damn, I'm strongly, strongly encouraging you to try it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, you know, and maybe in a few years from now, there's going to be this big, like, wave in human society and culture that everyone comes out and been like, oh, me too. And me too, as men, to say that they like it. But if you have never tried it and you have a partner that you trust and you feel comfortable with, try it with them.
For sure.
I strongly encourage it. I aggressively strongly encourage it, with communication
and comfort
and a little bit of alcohol.
No,
I'm just kidding. Don't do that. I mean, it doesn't hurt.
Well, I mean, wow. I know. That was a good conversation.
We've been chatting for a bit on this.
All right. Well, in that case, for another episode of Come With KC, if you have any questions at all, any comments or anything like that, shoot us an email. Either, actually, you know what? You can do ask@comewithkc.com to get a hold of us. Head over to www.comewithkc.com to send an inquiry about anything for our relationship redirect or any of our services that we offer. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.